Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Jim. Good morning, Jay.
All right, Jim, so let's touch on the Twins, who got beat 6-3 by the Detroit Tigers yesterday. Young pitcher, rookie Travis Adams, five innings. He didn't get it looked like he was just cruising until the fifth inning when he gave up a two-run home run. Still struck out seven in the game. Your thoughts on what Adams did?
I mean, the end result wasn't great. His overall statistics are pretty horrifying, but I think you saw why they have some interest in him. He pitched really well against a very good lineup for about, whatever, four innings. And he had a lot of life. You know, he seemed to top out about 95. But he had a little bit of Joe Ryan in him, that his fastball seemed to play well up in the zone. And he pitched well off of that. He, you know, he looked pretty good until they kind of figured him out, or he got tired, one or the other. But he looked like he has enough of an arm that he could figure in the future pitching staff in some way, whether it's middle relief. You know, hey, you need good middle relievers as well as everything else. So I think there's a little life on his pitches that's worth investigating.
So at this point, they're just trying to find out who might be a part of the future.
This is spring training. This is August spring training. Everybody they pitched yesterday is just getting a tryout.
Your thoughts on their offense? They had three solo home runs in the game. Matt Wallner, Trevor Larnach, Ryan Jeffers. Jeffers, I know, is a free agent next year. Larnach seems like he's been around for quite a while. He's given him some results, but hasn't really broke out. Your thoughts on those guys?
Ryan Jeffers, I don't think is. You mean after next year?
It looked like I saw that he's 30 years old, and I saw a list of free agent possibilities for next year, and I saw his name on the list. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's one thing I saw yesterday. So,
I'll have to look that up. No, he's under control at least through next year. He's
okay.
A free agent 2027. So, you know, that's one of the reasons his name wasn't among the rumors, because he's their only major league caliber catcher right now, and he's locked in at a reasonable rate through next year. So he'll be here next year. In fact, and then they'll have to make a decision. Do they sign him long-term, or can they do without him? He has not had a great year. He hasn't had a terrible year, but he hasn't had a great year. He hasn't been particularly productive. It's been a little disappointing, frankly, because I think he's capable of being I think he has the capability being a quasi all-star, you know, kind of just a very good everyday player. And the power and production just hasn't really been there this year. Wallner and Larnach are really interesting, and they're a great example why you don't just look at batting average. Larnach is hitting like .243 or something. You look at his OPS, and he hits the ball hard when he hits it. So it's easy, if you're just kind of watching the game, looking at batting average, think, okay, he's having a pretty good year. And his OPS is, I think, right at or slightly below league average. And that's not good for a corner outfielder whose entire reason for being in the lineup is hitting. Then you have Wallner, who's a better fielder, much better arm, had two outfield assists last night, probably runs a little bit better, and he's hitting like .210 or something, and his OPS is over .800, which is, you know, almost star caliber. And that's even with him having a couple of slumps. So I think you see why Wallner right now is the better player, more valuable player, has and seems to have more upside at this point.
When they look at their future outfield, do they know who the three guys? I mean, Buxton is aging, but certainly he's a part of that. And sounds like Wallner is too. Do they know what they might do with left field?
Wallner's still young. I mean, he's not young, but he's still fairly early in his career. And if he's starting to figure it out, he could be a powerhouse player. You know, the dream future outfield, if everything goes exactly right and players stay healthy and produce to their talent level, would be Walker Jenkins, Buxton, and Emma Rodriguez. Now, if Wallner makes himself a fixture, then Walker Jenkins could play first base or DH, or he can rotate the DH. I mean, you're not having too many good bats is not exactly much of a problem. But, I mean, they really think that Jenkins and Rodriguez could be two of the best hitters in Major League Baseball if they ever get it going and stay healthy. And, you know, hey, if you have too many good hitters, you can either find a way to play them at first base and DH, or you can make trades. So that would be a good problem to have.
Has Jenkins played much first base, do you know?
I mean, it just isn't that hard to transition. A decent athlete who puts some time in can learn how to play first base. Morneau was a terrible first baseman. And then he put some work in and he became a great third first baseman.
Jim, how about Edward Julian? He's getting more opportunities. He did have a hit in yesterday's game. I know defensively has been somewhat of a problem for him. Is this his last chance to try to make the team and be a second baseman on this team going forward?
I don't know for sure. I mean, it's always hard to make those proclamations because you don't know who's going to get hurt or what else is going to happen or if he's going to get hot. But he should take it. He should treat this as his last chance. He's had a lot of chances, and he's basically failed at most of them. His fielding is not very good. The thing is, when he gets his pitch, he can really hit it hard, and he can draw walks, and he can hit the ball out to the opposite field. Those are great building blocks for an offensive player. He just hasn't capitalized on them or been consistent enough. Kiesel is probably going to start tonight. And so, you know, maybe Julian gets some time at first base or DH to prove himself. But, I mean, Kiesel has passed him in the organizational rankings. And if Kiesel does what we all expect him to do, then you have Royce Lewis at third, Brooks Lee at short, Kiesel at second, and Julian trying to find a spot.
Jim, how about any of these bullpen guys? They had Davis and Ramirez pitch last night. I know that I think Rocco said that both Sands was unavailable and got another guy that has had some success was unavailable last night too. Are there guys in this bullpen you think could be a part of the team next year?
I don't think there's anybody who's – well, if we're talking about the guys that have unrecognizable names – again, these are tryouts, so none of them are guaranteed spots. You know, I think that Sands had a really good year last year. He hasn't had a very good year this year, but he is kind of a take the ball, give you innings whenever you need him kind of guy. He's kind of an ideal long reliever, extra reliever. I would guess he'd have a chance to stick. Everybody else, who else do you have out there right now? Boy, it's like they trade away. Everybody's worth a dang. It's really an open tryout, you know? I mean, it's wide open. And I think what they'd like to do is find at least two or three guys they feel good about. They could be on the major league roster and could hold down middle relief roles. And then, you know, if they want to contend next year, they're probably going to have to either make trades or spend money on end game relievers. They just don't have anybody to pitch the end of the game right now that you feel good about.
Zebby Matthews is pitching tonight for him. He's had some good starts, some not so good starts. Any opinion on him?
He showed a lot of composure last year. He showed a lot of composure in his minor league career. He showed great command. This winter he upped his velocity up to from 93 to 98, something like that. He has all the tools to be a good major league pitcher. I think really, if you look back at this year, I thought this was a pretty good roster, and they were coming off a very good May and the 14-game winning streak, whatever it was. And then Pablo and Zebby get hurt basically the same day, and they've been terrible ever since. So he has not looked great in his return. I think he's a young pitcher who has all the ability to be a very good major league pitcher. He's just got to kind of figure it out at this point.
Jim, the Vikings are going to play on Saturday their next preseason game, well, first preseason game against the Houston Texans. And Kevin O'Connell did confirm that J.J. McCarthy is expected to play. And it sounds like it's contingent on how much work they think he needs. They're going to do some scrimmaging prior to the game on Saturday. One series, two series, is that realistic?
Yeah, it'll be by feel. I mean, you know, everybody always asks those questions, but they don't have to make that decision. They can go into the game and, you know, what if the first play is a fumble snap? Well, that's a series. You're not going to just quit there. You know, what if the first two series total four plays? Well, you're probably going to give him a third series. So I think they'd like to have him get in enough plays just to kind of break the ice and feel comfortable in that stadium playing in front of a large crowd. You know, I just think it's that simple. And of course they'd love it if he played well, but if he doesn't, they're not going to panic. It's just an icebreaker more than anything else.
Because McCarthy's going to be out there, is Jefferson going to play? Are they going to play any of their first team guys?
Well, they're not going to play Jefferson when he's coming off a hamstring. I think they will play the first. I think they will try to play a good, I don't know if it's going to be all the starters. I would think so, but, you know, they don't have to, again, they don't have to make the decision. They don't have to tell us right now. But you're going to want a representative offensive line in front of them. You don't want people in who can handle pass protection. So I think he'd be in there with a good offensive line and a running back who's good at pass protection, and you know, and then just get him some plays, just get him kind of feeling like he's the starting quarterback again.
Jim, on the opposite side of the ball, the defensive side, Jeff Okuda, one of the players they brought in to play corner, is he going to hold down a starting spot?
They are raving about him right now, and you know all NFL coaches tend to try to hide information, but this group has been pretty honest and pretty open. I think that's O'Connell's nature. Flores is a pretty straight shooter, and they love the guy right now. So, I think he's a big, you know, I just did the Viking Update podcast with John Krasinski. We were talking about it. I think he's one of the swing players on this roster. If Okuda plays well, suddenly your cornerback quality and depth issues disappear because they love Rodgers. Murphy's a good player, and then you have Blackman and McLaughlin as young guys who can quality depth. That would solve a lot of problems. And so far they like him. There's a lot of happy talk in spring in training camp. So you always have to be careful about praise in training camp. But all indications are right now that he looks like he's capable of playing in the NFL right now.
How healthy is the offensive line?
Darisaw, they're still being careful with, and it's not a guarantee that he's going to start the opening game. I think they feel like he's trending in that direction, but they're being cautious about it. They could also play in limited snaps if they had to do that. But so far, his recovery seems to be on track. Fry seems to be doing okay coming off his injury. So, I mean, who knows if it all comes together in week one or week two, but this does project to be the best offensive line they've had in quite a while.
How does the team view Jordan Mason? Is he going to get quite a few carries each game?
I think they think of him as a true 1B running back. You know, Jones is going to be the starter. Jones is probably going to be the guy they want out there in the passing game. He's a much better receiver than Mason. But Mason is a better and Jones is a very good short yardage runner, even at his size. Not a big guy, but he just has a knack for finding holes and getting extra yards. But I think they view Mason as a great changeup back, an excellent goal line and short yardage back, an inside the 20 back. And also if Jones was banged up, you know, and they had to make a decision on playing him, I don't think they'd have any qualms saying, okay, Aaron, just take the week off. Mason will get all the snap. So I think they're very high on him.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
We do have the Viking Update show coming out today. We have the John Krasinski show coming out today. And we have Russo and LaPanta on Worst Seats in the House. We have myself and Lavelle Neal breaking down the Twins trades on our Chin Music Baseball show. And we have Randy Shaver's new high school football show out right now, plus Mark Rosen's Sports Monday. And everything's at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jake.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, is brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, we've got World and National News from ABC. That's brought to you by Executive Express.